Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Blindside Blitz. I am Jim McPhee, and Joe is there going remotely with us tonight. Joe, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on? What's up, Blitz Nation? Let's get to it, man. We're going to talk some football. We're going to give you your dosage for the week because this is the Blitz Nation, and we're here to save you guys. You can do us a huge favor, though. Since you're tuning in, make sure you head over to YouTube. Go to Grumblings Media right there. Drop that subscription down there. Hit that button for us. Hit the likes up for us as well. And don't forget to comment down below because we are live. We are the best NFL talk show that is the most interactive for you guys out there. So we are going to react to your comments. We are going to answer your questions. And that's what it's all about, is getting feedback from each other and giving everybody differing opinions. But don't stop there. You can also check out our website, grumblingsmedia.com, and you can check even more content over there, sports, political, entertainment, all that stuff we have over there for you too. Make sure you drop a follow. Make sure you give your reviews. And don't forget to keep supporting, guys. We thank you guys so much.
Absolutely. Joe, what a week. You know, just again, week one is over, and then week two, totally different. Blows it all up, right, Joe?
Atom bomb. Like, just when you think you started to have an idea of, like, what teams were and where they were headed, surprise, there was a large amount of teams that surprised everybody on Sunday.
Even on Monday. Even on Monday. That's right. Kirk Cousins is going to get it done here at prime time every now and then. That's right. But Saquon, a big drop, too, in that game, though, too. Yes, absolutely. So, yeah, Joe, I mean, one of the teams I think is just the Cardinals. Oh, my goodness. Again, just because you saw in week one really, you know, come out with that huge lead. Again, they do the same exact thing this week. But they're able to, you know, hold it, you know, and not let the team come back, you know. So what's going on with the Cardinals? I mean, it's crazy with them, you know, how they've turned it around.
I know. And it's been one surprise after another because week one, a lot of people, us included, thought we kind of wrote off the Cardinals because of the lack of talent on the roster in terms of, you know, names, in terms of production, especially on the defensive side of the ball. We thought that they were lacking so much that they might not even be able to overcome that. But I got to say, you know, it's one of those things where, like, we kind of pinpointed Kyler Murray and, you know, now their new draft pick and Marvin Harrison Jr. We thought that was it for their offense. And obviously James Conner's there, and they did draft Trey Benson, the rookie running back. So they got a little bit of talent on offense. But we thought defense was going to kill them. Like, we thought they were going to give up point after point after point, and the Cardinals weren't going to be able to keep up and outscore teams. So to our surprise, here are the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. And Kyler Murray said it before the season even started himself and said, hey, don't count us out. And here they are, you know. So they surprised the hell out of me last week beating the Rams. And I'm just like, I can't figure it out. It doesn't make sense.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, I know. And we're going to talk about the Rams just a little bit. But, again, a few different upsets. How about the Minnesota Vikings, too, over top of the 49ers. Again, looking a bit banged up here. Debo's injured once again. And that secondary for me, I mean, Nick Bosa is injured too as well. But that secondary seems like they're really struggling this year. We've talked about that interior. You know, they're missing a few different guys here. We talked about it in the preseason and things like that, where that might make a difference, which it is to an extent too, because it looks like Nick Bosa is having to do a whole lot out there. Fred Warner's still, you know, the man there. But, again, when he goes back to the secondary, it seems like there's a lot of confusion or just getting overmatched in the back end for me.
You know what's funny, too, is because you wait to see somebody step up on a roster. Like, even, like, names that you're not familiar with or whatever. Like, that I think his last name is Lenore, something like that. Like, the corner for the Niners, that dude is lights out right now. In the beginning of the season, he's playing – like at such a high level that he's rivaling a lot of the top corners in the league right now. And I understand it's only 2 weeks, so we have to wait and see how it progresses. But there are some bright spots on that Niners team. But then again, they do have holes. And we, like you just brought it up, the D-line. You got Nick Bosa and everybody else. You know, Javon Hargrave isn't getting any younger. He's made a couple good plays this season so far, but not, he just doesn't have enough of the supporting cast is what basically what it comes down to. And then offensively, it seems like they're trying to, they're not playing their game. Like, in other words, the offense is trying to have to score more points and try to outscore teams. And it's not working because that's just not them. That's not their mold. That's not their mentality. So they like to sustain long drives. They like to score at the end and just kind of keep the ball moving but not have to outscore teams. So I think it's been working against them, you know, now. And we've seen this past week, which honestly was a surprise to me. I didn't think they were going to lose that game. Yeah. And here you go. Like, this is the NFL. Like, every single week we struggle to find little details and try to figure out, like, the different equations of who can win, who should beat who. And in the end, we come away surprised a few times.
Yeah, yeah, and there you go, Minnesota again, you know, really putting it on. Sam Darnold looks pretty good so far. And again, you know, getting that deep ball out there to Justin Jefferson too, but Jefferson now, you know, banged up. So a lot of key injuries just week two in the NFL right now to where some of these guys are going down on IR early.
Yeah, Justin Jefferson, he's not going on IR. He's in fact, he might be able to play this week. So they said it was a quad injury, nothing major. It's kind of minor. They're going to evaluate day to day through practice and all that. But for all the Justin Jefferson fantasy owners out there, don't be too concerned because at least it's not major. Right. The other thing is that, you know, the Vikings beating the Niners to me, and we said it last week, like we had this talk about this game. I wouldn't have been surprised if they won because I really do believe that this Vikings team is better than people think. And Sam Darnold is playing at a much higher level than he ever has. Because he has that support, because he has a team that believes in him and an offense that he really, really plays well in. So Kevin O'Connell's done a great job with him so far, calling the plays, mixing it up, and Darnold is just flat out executing. Like, this is the guy that the Jets wanted, but they gave up on him too early and didn't surround him with talent. So here are the Vikings. They have Darnold, yes, but you know what? They got talent around him. They believe in him. And he's executing. So the Vikings are on a roll right now.
Yeah, definitely, Joe. And also one of the big ones, too, we're talking about upsets right now. The your Vegas Raiders upsetting the Ravens. How about that? People are shell-shocked out there.
Dude, fans are shell-shocked. Like, honestly, like, you have – I mean, every team, every fan base has fans that are, like, kind of – over the moon in love with their team so much where they think they're going to win every single week regardless. But I got to tell you, looking at historically Raiders traveling from West Coast to East Coast, playing a 1 o'clock game, which to them is like playing at 9 a.m. It's very difficult. And then on top of that, you got to face a team that a lot of people view as a playoff caliber team. It's a very tough, gritty, tough, high pressure defense. Love to get after you. And then you got the offense that is so tricky and so different with Lamar Jackson at the helm. You don't know if they're going to hand off the ball. Lamar's going to run himself or he's going to throw it over the top. So, but what did we notice with that game? And I said, the one thing that I think that'll keep the Raiders in the game is their defense. And if this doesn't prove to the NFL that this defense is for real, like one of the best, then I don't think anything will because this team just flat out outperformed the Ravens, like not offensively, but I think the defense, the Raiders defense really held them in the game. And then they were able to make the plays count when needed, especially down the stretch. So, yeah, I'm absolutely shocked that the Raiders pulled off the win. And, you know, hey, and the one thing I have to mention is Lamar Jackson, who is supposed to be the guy to help carry this Ravens offense, is making mistake after mistake after mistake in 2 weeks' time. I know it's only 2 weeks, but there's still plenty of time, plenty of seasons for them to kind of figure it all out. But again, I kind of went on a rant last week and said how much this is your MVP, right? This is the guy that can't make all the throws, and he proved it yet again. He can't make all the throws. He can't hit the guys that are wide open, can't hit those tight window throws, and it's crippling this Ravens offense. They got to figure something out. I think maybe getting Mark Andrews more involved would help, but we'll have to wait and see if they make minor changes in week three.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and that's the thing that kind of kills you, especially come playoff time. And that's probably why, you know, they haven't had success in the playoffs getting, you know, past, you know, the Chiefs and other rivals there and making it to the Super Bowl. And also the Raiders defense did hold him to only 5 attempts on running and 45 yards, I think it was, 45 yards on the ground.
Yeah,
so that's a key, because if over he has over like 100 yards and things like that, that's when he's really, you know, putting it to you and getting elusive and making plays happen.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It also helps when you have two juggernaut defensive linemen that that didn't allow him to breathe. Like Max Crosby had one hell of a day. Christian Wilkins, even though he didn't show up on the stat sheet a lot, he had so much pressure on Lamar. So it's like, I know the key to beating Lamar, and we all know this, is to keep him in the pocket, make him throw the football, make him feel that pressure. The Raiders were honestly, like, they were just coming after him. Like, it's almost like their game plan wasn't to just, like, oh, we're just going to, like, kind of hover around him and don't allow him to run, but let him do whatever. So they just went attacked him. So I was kind of surprised with that.
Yeah, yeah, and it ended up working out, though, too, again, because if you look at last year's stats with Lamar Jackson, he had over 65 scrambles, and that's when it's like during when it was a called pass play that he just makes things happen with his legs to avoid the pressure and things like that and makes some plays. So that's key. You know, that's key to a victory like that. One more upset I would kind of say, I guess, in an upset in my mind is the Detroit Lions at home. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers really put it on. I thought it was going to be a tight game. The Bucs, I knew they were going to be coming at them, but Detroit just didn't look ready at all. And Jared Goff, you know, getting pressured and making some mistakes too as well.
I mean, for Jared Goff and that team, like, that was a close game though. Like, it wasn't it was one-sided or anything like that. Blowout. And this is kind of what we anticipated. Like, we weren't going to be surprised if the Buccaneers won or the Lions won. But but when it came down to it, this is a Lions team that has beaten the likes of the Chiefs last season. You know, they've beaten some pretty daunting teams. And for the Buccaneers to not only go into Detroit and pull out the win, that's got to send a message to everybody, especially if you're a Buccaneers fan. Like, hey, no, you know, we got a legit team too, and people are overlooking us. So, Detroit Lions, they just got to collect themselves again. I mean, it's a tough loss. They lost 20-16. But I think more times than not, what I'm noticing in 2 weeks time with the Lions is that they're getting the ball to all their playmakers, except for the guy that really helped them last season in Sam LaPorta. Like, Jameson Williams, I understand it. Now he's a starter. You're going to feed him the ball and everything. Amon-Ra, you got to find a way to get him more involved. But your running backs are heavily involved, and that's fine. You got one of the best offensive lines, but you still make it really complex on defenses and start feeding Sam LaPorta, because that's going to open up everything else too. It did last season for Detroit, and it should this season if they get back on track.
Yeah, that's key there too as well, because again, the tight ends will get you out of some of those tough positions, and where, you know, Goff's trying to throw it down the field gets hit, and you know, you get end up with those interceptions like he had had. One more, I guess you would say, an upset or a big surprise for people that had people shell shocked, especially Dallas Cowboys fans. Who gonna beat them Saints? How about that, man?
That's right.
Saints destroy the Cowboys in Jerry's house. It was glorious, Joe. I was loving it. It was amazing to watch. And Derek Carr looking really good right now. So all you haters
out there. I'm not surprised. Not surprised at all. This is the Derek Carr that I know fans were criticizing him heavily last year into this year. But, like, come on. Like, Derek Carr is a top 10. I'll say that until he's retired. but he's a top 10 quarterback. It's time to face it. This guy has done more with nothing, and then he comes to the Saints, just happens to have one of the worst play callers in NFL history coach him, and that's why that team struggled last year. Now they get Clint Kubiak in there, new offensive mind, kind of like a refreshing environment now, and Clint Kubiak is calling some really creative plays. I mean, he's got Taysom Hill in the backfield. He's got Alvin Kamara out at wide receiver at times. I mean, he's starting to confuse all these defenses, and he comes up with these very creative formations and plays, and it's really, really playing well into the Saints offense. So Derek Carr is executing at a super high level. He right now, after 2 weeks, the guy is one of the premier quarterbacks in the league right now. I understand it's only 2 weeks, but I tell you right now, if this doesn't show you anything, the fact that the Saints went into Dallas against a very good defense and they just whooped them. Like we thought week one when they played the Panthers, they were like, oh, okay, it's the Panthers. They should have beat them up, you know? Mm-hmm. But now they went into Dallas and destroyed them. The Saints come marching in, and then they march out of Dallas with a win. So good for the Saints.
Yeah, absolutely, Joey. You know, it was crazy. And it's really, how do these teams respond after this? You know what I mean? Right. You're expected to go somewhere. You're expected to be competitive. This was like a playoff type of game, you know, and you didn't show up. And a lot of people kind of brought it up to almost like last year when they played the Packers. And got smoked. Again, the same kind of thing. They need to really check themselves here and get back on gear here because, like you said, they signed everybody to those big deals. And so now it's time to show up. And Mike McCarthy's still on that last year deal, I think. So, I mean, he's still not safe, though, out of everybody. So who knows? You have all those stars that you paid, and he's not safe. So, one person that is trying to make the safe move, and we'll talk about it a little bit, is Canales in the Carolina Panthers. But we'll get that in just a little bit here.
One thing I want to touch on. I want to touch on the Bengals and Chiefs.
Sure.
Because that was a very close game right down to the wire. Bengals pretty much had the game. They did. And it seemed like towards the end of the game, just much like a lot of them, that the Chiefs kind of get – I don't want to say bailed. I don't want to say that because the penalty on the field was legit. I'm not debating the penalty, but it just seemed like throughout that game that the Chiefs were being helped along the way to kind of keep them in within striking reach until it came down to it. And, you know, the Bengals made critical mistakes at the very end, getting a couple pass interference plays, and it just mentally not being strong as a football player, just kind of like, I know they're in the moment and they're trying to make a play, but you gotta be smart. You just can't run through a receiver. And it's sad because that was a, basically kind of like a Hail Mary play to get a first down. And the dude instead of running through the guy, run to the side of him and knock the ball away. Like that would have been it. Then it would have been game over. Like Bengals would have won. But, that was very close game. And I wanted to bring up something about the quarterbacks and like everybody, Joe Burrow's been taking a lot of heat after week one and the offense for the Bengals. And he went 23 of 36, 258 yards and 2 touchdowns, no turnovers, had a pretty darn good game. Patrick Mahomes, however, had 18 of 25, still a good ratio there, but only threw for 151 yards, 2 touchdowns, but also turned the ball over 2 times, 2 interceptions. Yeah. So my thing is, like, for the Chiefs going forward, Mahomes is not having a good year so far. Like, he hasn't had one of those breakout games where he's thrown for over 300 yards, 4 touchdowns, all that kind of stuff. We haven't seen that yet. And I don't think it's the receivers. I think it's actually just Mahomes making these, you know, I don't want to say poor plays, but, like, maybe just not making the plays that he normally makes. So it's going to be interesting to see how this team goes throughout the season. We got to definitely monitor the Chiefs because they haven't had any like clear cut wins, like just like no judgment, no question. They just went in there and they whooped a team. So far, they haven't been able to do that.
Yeah, definitely, Joe. It's been tougher, and they've been lucky to get some of these wins on some of them, like you said, to where that's why, all over X, it was happening. You know, people are, tweeting right there or whatever. Yeah. Would you call it Xing, or is it now it's X, but people are all over, out there and saying things. Oh, here come the refs. They're in the pocket, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And, like you said, you can see some of it. I get it. I understand that also that last play, was actual pass interference, and people try and claim back that the play before that, the Chiefs got penalized, the play before that or so, blah, 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 too. I'm like, yeah, okay, but wasn't that, I want to guess, but I think it was, illegal hands to the face or something like that? Wasn't that when he mushed Henderson in the face?
Trey Henderson.
Like yeah, because it's like, you're not.
That was blatant.
That was blatant. They can't
miss
that one. You have to throw them every now and then, but now they're just like, all right, guys. We got to make sure they kind of get this one on this one. Whatever the play is, we're throwing it. All right?
Yep, exactly.
But I don't know. It was a good game. And again, and it's tough to get a loss like that when you're there. You have them. You think you got them locked down. Mm-hmm. Mahomes is playing down. You know what I mean? So this is when you want to get them. Because you come to think that they will eventually turn it around and start running.
Yeah.
They did it last year. Last year they kind of seemed kind of off a little bit too for a little bit of the season and then turned it on.
So, and real quick while we're at it, the Chiefs, they sustained a major injury now. Yes. Isaiah Pacheco, their starting running back, who all the fantasy owners are loving that dude, and rightfully so. Unfortunately, he's going to be shut down now. He's going to short-term IR. He's going to miss. They're expecting, anywhere from because it's 4 weeks when you're on short-term IR, but they're saying 6 to 8 weeks he'll be out. So basically half a season. And they're bringing in warmer running back, Kareem Hunt, the guy that's been out there in free agency. And I am as shocked that he never got a job yet, but he's going back home, baby, back to KC.
Yeah. And welcome him home.
How amazing is that for him, to kind of, potentially end his career where he started it, as a Chief. So I'm expecting him to have a small role because they still have Samaj Perine, who's seen more as, the receiving threat of that team. Mm-hmm. And then they got this young kid, Carson Steele.
Yeah, Steele.
Who I think is going to do great things for the Chiefs. And I'm really curious to see – how much of a boost that he might be able to give the Chiefs in the run game?
Yeah, they were definitely using him a lot in short yardage situations and things like that.
Hard runner,
they seem to like him too, so that would be interesting to follow. But like you said, Pacheco injured. There's a lot of injuries piling up here in this week too. McCaffrey's still out. Russell Wilson's still out. And then also, let's talk about just Thursday night's game quick. Seemed like Miami just couldn't get anything done either. They tried to run the ball, couldn't get
running. God.
They couldn't do anything right. The Bills were just all over it. It looked messy. And then when Tua seemed like he, tried to put it all on his shoulders, had a first down, should have went down and goes head first. And there you go, suffers his third, I think, concussion, fourth concussion.
It's his fourth concussion under a year.
Under a year, yeah. So that instantly after people were questioning whether he should retire, things like that, his career and all this other stuff and things like that. So it's a big topic of debate. We're not going to get too much into it. But the game, it seemed like the Bills just had the game plan right. The Dolphins couldn't figure anything out. And now you're out your quarterback, and you got Skylar Thompson for the until two of them can come back off IR. Hopefully,
hold on a second, because they just signed Tyler Huntley off of the Ravens
practice
squad. So I'm telling you right now, that dude's got starting experience in Baltimore. He played well in Baltimore when he had those starts, and I honestly think that he could be a nice boost for that
team.
Obviously, he's got to learn the playbook. He's got to, he's got to start get some kind of chemistry with the receivers and whatnot. And here's the thing too is Miami Dolphins, even though they got Waddle and Tyreek, they're still waiting on Odell's return too. So when he gets healthy, it's going to make this team even more dangerous. And obviously, he's got to remain healthy, but in order for that to happen, but I think that Tyler Huntley has a legit shot to be the starting quarterback for the Dolphins in the near future. And I think it won't even be close. Like, I think that dude will easily be able to come in and win that job. But I have to say about Tua is he did see a neurologist, and it seems as if, like, he's okay. And the Dolphins are going to take a precautionary route and put him on short-term IR. So he will be out for the next 4 weeks, and he'll be back. Like, so that's the kind of the avenue that the Dolphins and Tua are taking, that he's going to have take some time off. And then when he comes back in 5 weeks, they're going to evaluate to see, you know, if he should start right away.
So, what's your opinion on people voicing the fact or their opinion, basically, on they think that, especially I'll bring up Chris Canty, says that when this happens and these players keep playing, that maybe somebody else should step up higher or whatever and make the decision for them to retire. What do you think about that, with somebody coming up, like, say, the NFL, and says, it just ending your career before you? Are you for that, or do you think that's kind of, you know, who are you to tell this guy when to stop or something like that?
That's the job of the neurologist. That's the whole reason why he went to get checked out. And if the neurologist says he's going to be fine, that there isn't no extra damage, you know, after sustaining that another concussion, and that he sees that he'll be fine, then it comes down to the player and the organization's decision. Mm-hmm. So obviously he went and got checked out. Everything seems to be okay, and he seems to be normal. No extra damage or anything that any future kind of injury that could occur in his brain. Mm-hmm. And so since the neurologist seems to say that it's okay and that he's good, they're going to take extra precaution. They're going to give him 4 weeks off, and so he can rest and get ready, and he'll be back in 5 weeks. So, or after the 4 week, you know, kind of vacation, if you want to call it that, they're going to bring him back in, probably have another meeting with him. How do you feel? Here, we're going to have the team doctors and the neurologist look at you one more time before we put you out there. So I think they're doing the right thing and being precautionary. Like, it'd be one thing, and it would be absolutely disgusting, I feel like, if the Dolphins just said, oh, the neurologist said it's okay, we're going to put him in next week. Like, that to me would be a little asinine. That to me would be really wrong to do, and that would show that you really don't care about the player. But I feel like they're taking the necessary steps, and they're going to reevaluate after 4 weeks. And if everything is a go, Tua could be back this season.
Yeah. I mean, and that's why I think even the situation too, leave it to the doctors, and then they can even tell them, say, hey, we've heard it before. Again, if you keep doing this, you are, you know, you might not walk away or this and that, blah, blah. And that's when some of these players have made that decision. I don't think it's anybody else's choice to make it for them. It's got to be the player. But again, with the knowledge from, you know, the neurologist or whatever, whoever they're speaking to, even get a second opinion, whatever you want before you make that decision. But make that decision yourself.
Yeah. And, all right. And just to say real quick, the whole point of that neurologist, because the Dolphins didn't want any backlash from this. They wanted him to go get checked out. He went and got checked out. Now, the neurologist could have just simply said, no, I can't allow you to play anymore. If that happened, you would have saw a breaking story go across your screen when you're watching TV, and it would have sent Tua retiring. Like, that's what would have happened if the neurologist saw any kind of major danger or future issues for Tua. But apparently so far right now, all we're getting right now is that seems like he's just going to rest. It seems like he's going to be good to go 5 weeks from now.
Yep. So we'll revisit that in just a little bit, or we keep you guys posted as we learn more. All right. So, Joe, this second week has been pretty crazy, but now we've got 0-2 teams. That's right. You know, the stat is something like ridiculous. Like, the chance of making the playoffs here after becoming 0-2 is very difficult. But
yes, it is.
I think with the way some of these injuries had happened with some of these teams now, and then also the teams that are still 0-2, some of them, I think, if they really play hard, which we've seen, I think the Bengals have been able to do this before. I lose the first two games and make the playoffs still. what teams here out of the 0-2 teams might have a shot here to still get back into the playoffs here. So we're going to start off with the NFC first. There's only a couple teams that are 0-2 in this NFC, so that'll be pretty quick, but they're pretty shitty teams. Well, no, two of them.
Shots fired.
That's right. All right, let's look first here at the Carolina Panthers. There we go. But everybody knows this. I mean, we see the guys wearing the paper bags here at the games and things like that, over their heads. Can't get people to the stands. The team just looks in disarray. Bryce Young missing guys wide open and things like that too. The mistakes, all around, just a terrible team right now. And then to be embarrassed back to back weeks. Now we're hearing that Dave Canales is making the switch. He's pulling the plug. There he is. He's pulling out Bryce Young.
It's not just him either. It's not just Dave Canales. It's Dave Canales, the vice president, not the owner. The owner didn't say anything about this, but sounds like the head coach, the vice president, the offensive coordinator. They're all in unison in benching Bryce Young.
Mm-hmm. So for me, then, if it is, so then you think this is a save your job type of deal, or a little bit of both, and save your job, but also we're here to try and win some games. And we've also figured out that Bryce Young is not the guy, so that's why we're benching him and moving on right now and just try and win some games.
Well, here's the thing. Everyone's got to remember, Dave Canales just recently got hired. This is his rookie year as a head coach. And yes. Bryce Young, did he draft him? No, he didn't draft Bryce Young. It's not his guy. He didn't pick him, so he really doesn't have any ties to Bryce Young. Yes, of course he wants to make it work because he's still young. It's only his second year. And would love for him to turn the corner and become the starting future for this team. But reality is his rookie year, it was very bad. And you could accredit that to the offensive line play was bad but there was a lot of moments where Bryce Young had pressure. He would turn the ball over. He would fumble. He would make poor decisions. And now it's following him into this season with a new offense, with a new coordinator. You know, Dave Canales is calling the plays as well. So he's got some familiarity with developing quarterbacks. Like you think of Baker Mayfield, who just got to Tampa last year. That's where Dave Canales came from. And he worked with Baker Mayfield. And look at Baker now. Like he's just killing it. So there's a lot of optimism in Carolina that Dave Canales could do the same for Bryce Young. So far, it isn't looking good at all. And it seems like Dave Canales and company have all agreed that, like, hey, listen, we've tried to work with this kid in the offseason. We went through the preseason games. We're into the season now. And I want to show that I'm a good coach. I want to show that we can win a few games. So in order to do that, I don't think Bryce Young is my guy in the future. Like, and that's what this decision basically says now. Or it could be the other side of the coin. It could be we're going to sit Bryce Young because we want Bryce Young to learn from a guy who's been there, done that, and Andy Dalton, who was a starter at one point, who has the experience. We want him to learn from him on the sideline and watch how he plays. Watch how he gets out of the huddle. Watch how, do the little nuances of being a pro quarterback. He wasn't taught. He just came in, was automatically deemed the starter, and let's go, and thrown to the fire. So maybe they're taking a different approach where they're going to sit him and want him to learn a couple weeks, maybe 3 weeks. And if Andy Dalton's still screwing up and Andy Dalton's struggling, and then they might put Bryce Young back in and kind of like give him like a refresher. But I think that this is something that it could be the right move, but it also could backfire by a landslide because it's sending a message to Bryce Young. It's sending a message to the team that we don't believe in Bryce Young. And if that's the case, you might have guys that have been supporting Bryce Young since he got drafted, and it might kind of ruffle some feathers. Maybe some team chemistry might not be there. So I hope that this is the right decision for Carolina. I don't think Andy Dalton is the answer either. I think that he might give them a little better. I'm not going to say he's going to be just outright so much better than Bryce Young, but with this team anyway, because the offensive line is lacking. I mean, the weapons, they haven't been as consistent either, but he will give them the experience. He will give them a guy who can make calls at the line of scrimmage, a guy that can, you know, identify the defense a lot easier. Maybe kind of, you know, figure it out before the play even snaps, and he knows where to go with the ball. So those little nuances Andy Dalton can give them. I just don't know if this is the right decision. It might be a little too early. Like, this is only week two, and you're already pulling the cord on Bryce Young. So,
yeah.
And they're not really ready offensively to kind of take, you know, score a bunch of points on teams anyway. They're still rebuilding.
Right. Yeah, and Andy Dalton, that's what you got. You got the experience. You know, the things that, you know, reading defense, stuff like that. Every now and then, you know Andy Dalton, he's going to give you that lame duck interception or something like that then, too, that he's famous for. But that's what you're doing. You're putting in somebody that has the experience. He's in there.
Yep.
And like you said, here, watch this guy. See what he does and this and that. See how he conducts things. And here you go. Here's a Surface tablet, too. You know, you watch along with him and things like that. See what you see.
Right.
What we're looking at. And I think the receivers, when you talk about people maybe losing, you know, the rest of the team or some people, that might have been Bryce Young's, room or, you know, rooting for him. I think one thing here you want to show some of these guys, though, too, after being so bad and losing badly last year, and right now you're 32, like ranked 32nd in a lot of different items here. A win is very nice, and that can help with a lot of different things. So if these guys feel good and they can pull out a win, that does things for, you know, Leggett here, their new wide receiver here, that shows something for them. Mm-hmm. Like, here you go, we're dedicated to winning. We want to do something to get something here. And I think, you know, again, the weapons aren't crazy, but they're enough to get something done. That I think if Andy Dalton's in here, I think he can definitely do a lot more than what's been done there so far. So I think it's a step towards a positive route here. And, you know, like you said, not their guy. They'll look for their guy soon.
Yeah, the only issue that I see is that you don't really have a clear-cut number one on this team. Like, you don't have any go-to guy that's going to be a big playmaker for you. Adam Thielen, he used to be great. Like, he used to be amazing in the NFL. He's lost a step. You know, Jonathan Mingo has never – I understand it's only been a year, but Jonathan Mingo hasn't developed enough to do anything. Deontay Johnson is a really good slot receiver. However, from time to time he drops the ball. So, I mean, and honestly, they did – a lot in the offseason with this offensive line to improve the protection. And that's been abysmal. Like, sometimes when you go and add a free agent or pay big money to get someone to go there to upgrade your team, sometimes that little band-aid, it just doesn't work. Dolphins guard, who was just, also affects, you know, Bryce Young and how well he plays, is that O-line was supposed to look good. So, expected to be rebuilding. So, they have a new head coach, a team that's not ready to compete just yet. I know they're trying, but it's going to be a couple more seasons later.
Yep. Yep, yep. So, again, I don't really see them making the playoffs anytime soon this year. So, we're just going to move on now to the next team, who is 0-2 in the Giants. And that is and in the league, and that's the New York Giants right there. Giants, again, they really shouldn't be 0-2 because in this game, they had scored multiple touchdowns. Their defense held the Washington Commanders in the red zone multiple times, all until the last final possession, you know, where, you know, they held them and then gave up, you know, the last game winning field goal. But they're holding it. You know, they were holding the line, and if the Giants had a healthy kicker and Graham Gano did not pull his hamstring early in that game, they're ahead already because they're not going for two every single time or going for it on fourth down when you're in, you know, on the opposite side of the 50. And that's what they did. You know, they didn't punt very often. Once they tried their punt with, their punter here, they tried to kick a field goal with them. Gillian did not do very well. So they had to go to that whole 2-point conversion thing. And it sucks because they were doing well. They were getting the ball to Malik Nabers, was having a day. I thought Singletary was still running very well too as well. So I thought overall they were doing well, giving up a lot of yards on defense, but still, again, bend but don't break at the red zone. But just not enough if you can't complete those 2-point conversions.
You mean to tell me that they didn't pull off like the Houston Texans from last season where they just had like, I forgot who it was at the time, but he was like a defensive player and he came in and he kicked an extra point. Like, and like, you mean to tell me that the Giants didn't have tryouts for kicking like as emergency kicker? Like sometimes this happens, right? Like everybody carries only one kicker and if by chance your kicker gets injured, now it's like, oh crap, do we bring another kicker in and cut someone else off the roster? Do we try to find someone that can kick that's already on the team? So like, this is kind of one of those rare situations that the Giants, obviously their punter couldn't kick it. You know, he didn't do well, like you said. So, they were at a hard place here, and it sucks because it definitely ruined the decision making in the game for them. It's almost like their hands were tied. Like they're like, hey, we don't have anybody that can kick field goals, so we're just gonna have to go for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I mean, it's tough. It was tough to watch because again, it was nice to see the fact that they were able to get into the end zone. So there was a lot of positives. Daniel Jones running very well too. On top of it, so they're going the right direction. Now, if you look at the their chance to possibly make the playoffs, we know it's slim to none. It's most likely they're not. But one thing I will say again is the way this NFC has been playing each other, or even playing this year, and even with some of the injuries right now, it's up and down. So especially that NFC East, we talked about this in our preview. This division, I think, this year is going to be closer than it has been in a while. Mm-hmm. So, again, I think if all you got to do is try and win that division, you know. But, again, if some of the other divisions are tighter, then maybe you have a chance to sneak in.
Are we going back?
The Giants can make the playoffs, but I don't know. Again, it looks pretty grim for me right now.
Are we going back to the how long? It wasn't that long ago when this division was like – all four teams almost made it. I think three out of the four made the playoffs because the NFC was so weak and that division was stronger.
I think it was the last time Daniel Jones was good, which was a couple years ago, right? 2-3 years ago. Yes, and everybody made a push. The Eagles were good.
It was pretty funny. So maybe it could occur again. Like, but that's the thing, though, is as good as tight as this division is, as tight as the NFC is, that just across the board, when you look at that whole conference, a lot of those divisions are going to be tight. So that just means like it's going to get real interesting down the stretch at the end of the season because it's going to come to like whether you win or lose that last week, it's going to probably dictate a lot of teams making or not making the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, for me, it's a nay, but you know, I don't, you know, put it out of the realm just because the way that conference is. The way we're playing right now.
It's a no for me. I think that they're, again, I kind of go back and forth with Daniel Jones. Like sometimes he plays well and you're like, okay, he shows promise, you know, keep giving him chances. Mm-hmm. And then there's a lot of times where it's like he continues to make the same mistakes. And you, as a fan, it's got to drive you absolutely berserk. Because it's like, dude, you did this last year and you did this the year before. It's like, when are you going to learn from your past mistakes? And it seems like he's just not getting it. So unfortunately, I feel like Daniel Jones's time with the Giants is coming to an end. I think the Giants have to find themselves either two ways. Like, they might have to bring in a veteran next year to at least have an insurance policy and then go draft a quarterback. And then let's see who wins the job. Or they just might go straight to the draft and not even bother with signing a veteran and, just kind of like try to bring the guy along slowly as much as they can.
Oh yeah. Yep. So here we go. Finally to the last team in the NFC that is 0-2. And that is the Los Angeles Rams. How about the Rams 0-2 now, Joe?
What is happening?
What I know. And wide receivers out there now, who's their wide receivers? Oh. Because you lose Puka Nacua in the first game, yep. And now in the second yep. game, Cooper yep. Kupp. You know, so yep. who's and Atwell, I don't know, last game too, he had a drop that was terrible. Yeah. Who's going to be the receiver? Who's going to be the guy on this one, you know?
They're going to have two. So a lot of people, if you like Rams fans, know him very well. Jamarcus Robinson. Mm-hmm. Jamarcus Robinson, he had amazing chemistry with Stafford last year. Like towards the end of the season, man, he was coming on strong. He was getting the ball a lot and was making a lot of big plays. And this year, I feel like Jamarcus Robinson, Stafford's going to go to him a lot. It's basically going to be his go-to. And then second behind him is new free agent signee Tyler Johnson, who comes over from Tampa Bay, another kind of younger, good size wide receiver, kind of tall, and a guy that really wasn't given a shot in Tampa Bay, and now he's going to definitely get a shot with the Rams right now.
All right, yeah, and but it was tough too because this is one of those teams that was expected to make the playoffs, you know, mm-hmm. you know, at least in our eyes too.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, because yep. you know, yep. look the way they play. Their defense is looking pretty good, even too. You know,
except for this weekend.
Except for this weekend, that's right. And
we know around the field too long.
You know the stat that the fact that you know here 0-2, it's tougher to make the playoffs here. But mm-hmm. with the way this division is, or this conference rather,
yeah.
It's a tight race, so I'm not out of the realm of seeing them bounce back and get back in this thing. Mm-hmm. And we've seen Matthew Stafford mm-hmm. before when the chips are down and some of these guys are out. He, like you said, he will find that next guy. It's the next guy up, and hey, you're getting the ball now. Right. You know what I mean? Right. Make it happen. And Sean McVay and his offense, he's gonna dial something up here to get things going for these guys. So. This division, if the 49ers lose to another team that, you know, is pretty good and they can't get things going either as well, again, it's anybody's ball game in this one, you mm-hmm. know, because if you look at it down the board right now, strength-wise, in that division, the Cardinals look like kind of like a dark horse team, right? Like how offensively they're coming out at people, the way the 49ers have kind of been slow, the Rams mm-hmm. slower, you know, it was a back and forth game week before last against the Lions, and then Seattle even slow starts the first two games, and especially this past one in Foxborough against the Patriots, and then eventually pulling out the victory. So again, as long as they can stay with it, get some victories here within division, and like we said, we expected them to be a playoff team. I would not mm-hmm. be surprised if these guys go in 0-2 and are making the playoffs.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, it's not like Cooper Kupp and Puka are both done for the year.
Right.
Like, they're only done for 4 to 6 weeks. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just kind of trying to estimate, like, between both injuries, like, you know what I mean? So, they're coming back. Like, and once they come back, it's good. The offense will get back on track, and they still don't have Tyler Higbee yet. Like, Tyler Higbee has been injured and hasn't been able to be in the lineup either. So once he does, it's going to open up the offense more. And then Cooper Kupp comes back, Puka Nacua comes back, and now we're one big happy family in L.A., and we're starting to rack up points once again. So I know that one of their big-time offensive linemen, Steve Avila, he got injured too. He's going to miss some time. So obviously they're going to wait for his return, but – defensively, they're still good despite the score with the Cardinals. It's just that they're on the field so much, they got so tired, and they couldn't really do much at the end. But I have no concerns right now. I have no concerns with the Rams. I think they'll get back on track as they start to get healthier.
All right, so there's the NFC. Let's move on to the AFC side, which they have a good handful.
Yeah, before we get to the AFC real quick, just want to say everybody, thanks for tuning in. We really appreciate you guys, the Blitz Nations, we like to call you guys. You can find this podcast and many more like it. Head over to grumblingsmedia.com. Anything from sports, entertainment to political, head over there. Check it all out. Also, do us a huge favor. Head over to YouTube for us, please. It definitely helps our channel. It definitely helps us grow. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Make sure you hit the thumbs up. And don't forget to comment down below. We are live. We react to all questions. We react to any opinions that you might have or anything you want to talk about. We'll drop everything and talk about it right now. We'll do it. I dare you guys.
That's right. Yeah, and instead of the logo this week, I have put that QR code right there in the corner. So I made it pretty easy for everybody. I mean, there you go. Just scan the code, and it'll take you to grumblingsmedia.com, which can link you to everything, all the shows, all the channels, everything. So there
and
you go.
And it doesn't stop scan there. The you can also take us on the go with you if you'd like. You know, take us to the gym, to your workplace. If you're just doing gardening out back in the yard, like anything. Anywhere you get your podcasts, make sure you hit us up.
All right. So AFC, at the bottom of the barrel, here we go. We've got the Denver Broncos.
At the bottom of the barrel. Oh, Jesus.
I take my shots when I can, Joe. Whatever. You got a problem, leave a comment. Here you go, the Broncos.
The Broncos.
Looking very good. What's Sean Payton got to say now? You know what I'm saying? It's like, he talks so much trash about Nathan Hackett and Nathaniel Hackett.
All I know is Sean Payton seems to think that he fooled everybody in the draft to get Bo Nix and that Bo Nix was going to carry him over the top to the promised land into the playoffs this year. But there's this thing called mistakes where sometimes – and I got to say, like, I'm going to be honest. Like, Bo Nix has surprised me so far in week two. Like, he did show some highlight plays. He's done a pretty decent job as a rookie coming in. So, kudos to him. But he's not developed yet, especially at the NFL level. So, like, even though he has some nice plays, there's some nice highlight plays, good plays that he makes. But then there's also some mistakes that he's made, especially in week two. And it's showing. Right? Like, this is something that he's not Superman like Sean Payton thought he was. Yeah, he might be a good talented player, but he's still not a finished product. So they're going through their bumps and bruises right now. Hopefully he gets better as the season progresses. But you're right, Jim. Like, Sean Payton talked a big game this offseason, talked a big game after leading into the regular season, said everybody's going to sleep on us and it's okay. We're going to prove everybody wrong. Well, Sean, you're 0-2 right now. Now, I know you don't hit the panic button after 2 weeks, but things aren't looking good. So let's wait and see how the Broncos go moving forward. But honestly, as much as some people before the season started were stating, oh, watch out for the Broncos, they could push for this division, you guys were smoking something really good. So, Denver Broncos, they're another team that they have some players that they still need to find to add to this roster to get them to that level. And right now they just don't have it. You got to think too of a lot of the players leaving Denver, like defensively, offensively. There's been guys that have left, and it's like they really didn't replace them with that much better talent, almost like lateral moves or even below average. So the Denver Broncos got a little bit of ways to go, and this year is not going to be the year. I don't see Denver making the playoffs.
Yeah, I think defensively they've been doing pretty good for what it is.
Right.
And they didn't have any real weapons again. You got Cortland Sutton and
Marvin Mims.
Okay, and then you're pretty much it. And if you look at their depth chart, there's like nobody after that. They have to get guys off the practice squad or something. So
I gotta look it up. But is Tim Patrick still on this team?
No,
he's not.
Nope, they got Josh Reynolds. They grabbed Josh Reynolds from the
Josh Reynolds
Lions.
But no Tim Patrick. He's not there anymore.
No. So again, they got two rookies.
I wonder,
Billy Devon from the seventh round and Troy Franklin in the fourth round. Yeah. But that's the thing. You're starting out with a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, because he was a good player.
You've got no real – huh? What's that?
No, I said yeah. Yeah, I just said I agreed with you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you start out with a rookie quarterback. Again, not – you know, like I said, weapons are okay, but not spectacular here. But – you're going to go through the growing pains. Again, you threw right in the fire. Like, I wouldn't have, again. I mean, this is your opportunity where you're just kind of like, Zach Wilson, somebody, throw him out there. You know what he is already, whatever, at least, or maybe see if he can play a little better to find, you know, either one, a starting job somewhere else, or just you're a good backup. You know, he's got been in the you know, in that driver's seat before. And then Bo Nix sit behind with Sean Payton, not exactly like, hey, you know, listen to Zach Wilson, he's going to teach you a whole lot. Sit with Sean Payton, go through the games, watch the film, you know, this and this, and then bring him into it. Patrick Mahomes wasn't Patrick Mahomes until he got thrown in, you know, after sitting a year. Who knows what he would have done that first year. He might have done okay. But you don't know when you're just thrown right in the fire. And, you know, and even Mahomes even had more weapons when he was able to jump in. So this is what I'm saying. He's kind of already starting in the back seat already, and he's got to try and move forward. And it's always tough, you know. Despite me not liking, you know, him at all or whatever, I'm just saying that's a good way to look at it. You know what I mean? You know why he's got the turnovers and things like that. So he's going to learn hopefully here for them soon. But again, Broncos. We didn't think they're going to be very good, and here they are. You know, so I don't think they have a chance to make the playoffs at all.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's, you know, it's one of those things where, like, it's another team that's still building that team back up. And they're it is what it is. Like, we see this all the time. Like, we kind of already understood the Broncos and thought that they weren't going to make a playoff push. But a lot of people like to be very optimistic, we'll say.
Yeah. And they like to be that one guy that got it right. You know what I mean? You know, like, hey, I said this, you know, especially Colin Coward like to jump on top of that. I think he might have been a Bo Nix guy. He's quiet right now.
Oh, he could have been.
All right, next. Yeah. Next, we've got the Tennessee Titans here. The Titans again. That was a close game this past week here. They were in it kind of again, but you're still seeing the mistakes that really get you frustrated with Will Levis, you know what I mean? Because you see the good things, and then you see the with the good, you get the bad. And again, what are you doing, buddy? You're like literally laying on the ground on your belly just about, and you're throwing underhand toss back. What's that going to do for you? That is not saving a play anywhere. You know what I mean? And the fact that you got, you know, told not to do that after last week, you do it again this week. And let me tell you, he got laid into.
Yeah, for sure. And not just got laid into, but Bill Callahan, new head coach of the Titans, he and offensive coordinator, he not only laid into Will Levis, but also was so frustrated at the press conference after the game that he basically called him dumb. Yeah. He was just like, I mean, he lost. Like, he just lost it at the press conference. it's almost like he's like, I give up with this guy. I need someone else. It's almost like he pulls a Sean Payton. He's like, I want him cut next week. You know, so, I think it's just kind of like overreaction after the game for the coaching staff, for Will Levis. Like, obviously, yes, he made a couple of really, really bad mistakes that you should never do as a quarterback. But I think it's like, it's one of these growing pains that Will Levis has this season that he needs to wake up. Like, point blank, like, it's all on him. Like, those kind of bonehead decisions, like, he's got to learn from that. And going forward, he cannot afford to make another mistake like that again. Just can't. Like, stop trying to be Superman. You're not. You got guys around you to help you. If you get sacked, that's part of the game. just come back, and if there is the next play, or we punt. It's that simple. We don't turn the ball over. Stop doing it. So Levis has to learn, and I'm sure that the coaching staff is going to get back into this week and really focus for him especially. Like, listen, we don't want any unnecessary turnovers from now on from you. Like, mm-hmm. you do it again, then you're going to put us in a tough spot. Like, I don't know if they'll get to the point of benching Will Levis, but it's close. Like, it's kind of one of those things where you don't want to bench him. You want to keep developing him because he's still young. He really didn't even have a full rookie season. So this basically is part of his rookie year. So there's a lot of growing pains. So I don't think I think they're going to continue to work with him. I don't think that's even an issue. But the frustration is there for sure. And this team, honestly, on paper is too good to not put up a better fight and keep making those mistakes.
Yeah. I mean, again, and you look at it, you could see, like, the potential there. Mm-hmm. That's the thing with this team, and that's why when we were even looking at the division and trying to pick, you know, our winners and things like that, we're like, oh, sadly enough, I think these guys are just at the bottom. Going to chuck it up at you know, the last year. But right now, Houston's right on top 2-0, and all the other teams are 0-2. So who knows going to come out of this whole thing here, you know, with the Colts and all these guys, where we thought it was going to be a tough division. There's going to be tight. Maybe a couple of these teams bounce back. But right now we're going to talk about a few of them here being all 0-2 at the same time. So if they do have a chance to get back in it, you know, they better make sure that, you know, they keep it close, you know, with the Titans here.
Yeah, and for the Titans, one last thing is, like, a lot of games. So the first 2 weeks of the NFL, a lot of these, like, close games are, like, they've all been decided by turnovers. They all have been.
Yeah.
And that's something that you have to limit that. I know it happens, but you have to limit it. You can't allow it to ruin your game plan. You can't allow it to take over the game. And that's what I feel like in the first couple of weeks of this season so far. A lot of these close games are determined by who turned over the ball more. You know what I mean? So Titans did that this week with the Jets. You know, the Titans could have surprised people maybe and beat the Jets. But those turnovers were critical.
Yeah, absolutely, Joe. Absolutely. And turnovers, that is the key. You will lose the turnover battle, most likely you do lose the game. All right, so Titans, for me, it's a no again. Yeah, I don't think they do it, but
– I honestly can't say no right now because of the way that division is.
Yeah,
No one – it seems like Houston definitely wants the division crown. They're going to probably like, just be handed it. At least that's the way it looks right now. But I got to say, like, that for all those other teams to be 0-2, it's like they didn't start the season yet. So – yeah. I think the Titans are still in it. I'm going to say they do have a shot.
All right. There you go. Nice. All right. Next up, we've got the Jacksonville Jaguars here in that same division we're talking about, being one of the 0-2 teams. A team I thought would bounce back this year. And, you know, again, defensively, I think they look pretty good. But offense, just not good. Even the fact that they're bad is Trevor Lawrence comes out and just said, hey, we suck. And so that's I think is messed up.
Wow. Again,
it's one thing to be honest.
Like, why would you say that?
But dude, but you're the quarterback. You're the leader. And you're just like, hey guys, by the way, we just suck. It's like, no. You know, you're supposed to like take, you know, responsibility. You're supposed to like, yeah, we've had some bad plays and this, blah, blah, but we're working hard, we'll be back, you know. The positivity. Right now he is so beat down now that there's no positivity. And that's a really bad thing for a team right now sitting at 0-2, Joe, where a team, again, Doug Peterson, he made it to the playoffs 1 year, but they haven't got back there since. So who knows what can happen with this team. And if, you know, this is the attitude that some of these guys have, are we going to see a change up here?
I don't think so. Honestly, like, here's the thing. And before we even got to the regular season, that was my concern is Trevor Lawrence. Is his play, because there's been a numerous amount of times last season where they should have won the game and he made a turnover or he fumbled the football because he wasn't aware of the pressure coming to him. So a lot of time, I'm not just blaming Trevor Lawrence. Let's get that straight. But it starts with him. And if he continues to miss wide receivers that are open, continues to make bad decisions and turn the ball over, it really puts a damper on your defense. Like now your defense has to try to bail you out again and bail you out again. And before you know it, just like a lot of these other teams that struggle on offense, their defense is on the field way too many times and way too long. They get tired. So they're going to give up points. Like they just can't keep it up for that long. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's one of those frustrating things, especially for Jaguar fans, that they're just like, we know that we're a good team. We're just not playing like it. And Trevor Lawrence, you know, he has to snap out of it. He has to be better. He has to be a better quarterback, not turn the ball over, and just take what's given to you. Make the right throw. Because we've seen him airmail it a lot of times. It's just like, what is he doing? Like, it almost looks like he's throwing the ball away, but we all know he's not. So, it starts with him on offense. He's got to correct those issues. He's got to get better in order for this team to have any shot to get back into this race.
Yeah, definitely. But right now, they don't look very good. So with this division, like you said, it is tight right now, 0-2, but, you know, it's highly unlikely.
Yeah, one other thing I'll mention too is Travis Etienne's got to take care of the ball too.
Yeah,
he can't fumble the ball. Like it's always been a negative of his, even in college when he was playing. Yeah, dynamic runner, dynamic player, but from time to time, he just drops a football. So that's got to be corrected as well. We talk about turnovers and that really does, you know, it ruins the momentum that your team might have. It ruins the fact that you might be winning and now you're losing. So it's such a critical stat that you cannot give up. For the Jaguars, even though it's kind of like a three-way tie for 0-2, I just don't have confidence in the Jags making the playoffs this year.
Yeah, me too. At this point, again, you know, like I said, that whole thing too with his demeanor about it all, I'm like, I don't know, you know, that's not good. Mm-hmm. And like you said, Etienne, you know, a lot of people, wanted to try and grab him maybe for fantasy and things like that.
He's
and,
good.
The turnovers are a struggle here for you. All right, next up, we've got the, let's go to, I guess I could sell. I can't, for some reason, the Colts logo isn't bouncing, popping up. I'll try and get it up, but let's talk to the Colts. Don't know why it is, but there you go. Maybe they don't want to show their face. 0-2
and non-existent.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what's funny, too, because week one, again, it looks like, you know, they came out with some spadazz, you know, and it looked like they're going to, you know, do something here.
Yeah.
And then this week, it was totally different. You know, like, again, the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde teams that we saw that, you know, between week one and week two.
Yeah. And unfortunately for the Colts defense, they're going to be without DeForest Buckner for some time. The key cog for their defensive line. So that's a loss there. You know, we talked about in week one how we wanted to see more from Anthony Richardson. We wanted to see him being able to pass the ball more and more effectively. Didn't show up in week two. So he's doing okay, but he needs to do more as a quarterback to really kind of help this offense take off. Jonathan Taylor can't do everything. You can't hand the ball off to him 75 times every game and expect you to get anything, because that's what teams are doing right now. Teams are playing, when they play the Colts, they are trying to shut down Jonathan Taylor and force Richardson, because he's still young at quarterback, they're trying to force him to make the plays. And so far, it hasn't worked out. We'll see if things change in week three. Maybe they have a different game plan for week three. But they're a team that I'm not going to say – I do believe that this team could turn it around and maybe potentially get a wild card spot. I don't think it's going to be a clear cut playoff seed, but I think that they're a team to watch, especially if they get better as we go through the season. I think they're a team to watch that they maybe might be able to crawl their way into a wild card game.
Yeah, because also too, Joe, I mean, when you look at it, you got to also look at the team they played. And we kind of looked at this game as when we were doing our picks, we're like, well, Malik Willis, he hasn't really shown much, right? Yes. So we're like, I don't know about it. We just don't know.
You just
So we're going to like, all right, well, we're going to go with the Colts on this one, though, too. But you forget, Packers defense is really good.
Yes,
and again, you know, the Packers and their team, they really got it all together here when game planning and things like that. They said, all right, you know, we don't have, you know, Jordan Love, but you know what? We'll just try and kill you with the running attack. You know what I mean?
What the hell were the Colts thinking? What the hell were the Colts thinking? Honestly, like Malik Willis is the starter. He just got there a week ago. What do you think the Packers are going to do? Run the ball. So why wasn't the game plan to be like, all right, we're going to shut down Josh Jacobs like in week one, and we're going to make Malik Willis beat us, whether it be with his legs or his arm. We're going to, if he beats us, we deserve the loss. But at least that way we know we took care of business. But they just didn't do that. They allowed Josh Jacobs to run all over them, and they had no answer defensively to stop anything that they were doing. So amazingly, Malik Willis comes in after being there a week, and we alluded to this last week when we were talking about the game, how the game plan is going to be this simple. They're going to run the freaking football and try to run the ball down their throats, and then Malik Willis, whenever they have to throw, it's going to be short, high-percentage throws. That's exactly the game plan. We called it. And, and the Colts, I don't know how the Colts didn't see that. They're making a game plan to stop it. So here you are. And you're right. Green Bay's defense is legit. It's one of the better defenses in the league. And it's no joke. So we knew that that part of their team was going to be rock solid. But for the Colts to not be able to do anything, they couldn't score. They couldn't play defense. And here they are sitting with another L.
Yeah, yeah, giving up was, I think it was like 151 yards or so for Josh Jacobs here. I mean, that's crazy. You can't do that. And again, you know, Richardson with the three picks, you know, turnovers, like you said, is very bad for your team on top of it. All right, so here we go. We got two more here we're going to look at. Then we'll get right to our picks. And these two, again, kind of a surprising pick, at least for this one right here. And it is the Baltimore Ravens. And just like that, a tight game with Kansas City and then a tight game with the Raiders, and you lose that one too. You're sitting at 0-2, and people and the fans, you talk about fans. You said it earlier, you know, they're like freaking out right now. Like, how is this happening right now? You know, not only Raiders fans like, hey, we just won, but then also the Ravens fans like, what? What's going on? You know what I mean? We're a playoff contender. We're a Super Bowl contender. This was our year. And here they are, 0-2. But again, a very good team, you know, around the board. Likely has been really stepping up for this team, making some big plays at the tight end position. But we talked about Lamar Jackson again, and his numbers are pretty good. I mean, if you look at, again, 63%, you know, around there, you know, completion percentage, you know, 200 plus yards. But when it comes down to it, you know, you're missing the bread and butter. It's not there. You know what I mean? And he's the first game running around, making a lot of plays with his legs. But when it came down to it to win the game, couldn't get the job done. And in this game, again, the defense stuffed him, knew how to play him. And now they are 0-2, so it's going to be a tough road ahead for them. But, you know, they are one of the best teams in the AFC, so they're going to make a push here.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing is, like, this team is built to win now. We all know that. We all expected the Ravens to be a playoff-caliber team and a team that might be able to push for the Super Bowl. But after 2 weeks and after – I mean, you can say, like, oh, the percentage that Lamar Jackson throws is over 60% and this thing. Yeah, that's all – that's a cool number. But the only category that matters is wins. So he's 21 to 34 this past week, 247 yards, a touchdown, and he did throw an interception. So my thing with Lamar too, and I watched most of this game. I didn't watch the whole thing, but I watched most of it. And what I was able to catch and what I saw is Lamar Jackson yet again did the same thing as he did in week one. He struggled to throw the ball to his guys that were open. And he just he just can't. I don't know what it is. It's like sometimes he makes amazing throws. Like he'll throw to Zay Flowers streaking down the sideline, 58 yards down the field, and just drop it into his hands in mid stride, and he makes a nice throw there. But then most of the time he's airmailing passes. He's not being able to hit his open receiver. So like, did he regress? Like, he's just not consistent enough as a quarterback. That's really what it is. He makes some plays that are nice, and then there's other throws that it makes you scratch your head. Like, he made that same throw 2 games ago. What changed? So it's like the consistency of Lamar Jackson's passing is what's killing the Ravens offense. It stops drives. They went 3 and out. The Raiders defense is a really good defense, but they went 3 and out, especially in the second half, a lot of times where they just couldn't sustain drives. And much of it was because Lamar wasn't executing. He was very inconsistent with his throws. So with that being said, Lamar Jackson is struggling mightily as a quarterback so far after 2 weeks of football. And this doesn't look good. They need to figure something out. Like I mentioned earlier in the show, real quick, briefly, I said, I'm not seeing enough Mark Andrews being involved. That dude, you need to feed him the ball, because that's what helps Lamar Jackson get in rhythm. It helps him build confidence throughout the game. Like Isaiah Likely's nice. Don't get me wrong. Keep him involved. But you got to get Mark Andrews the ball more often, because that's what's going to help you open up. You don't just have one really good tight end. You have two really good tight ends. So you could really mess up defenses that way. So that's what I think is missing from their offense. I feel like they still need to get back to that. Like when Mark Andrews, before his injury, he was feeding him the ball kind of routinely. And it helped open up the rest of the offense and make plays easier for Lamar to do. So I think that's the thing that's missing for their offense. But until that gets figure it out, I feel like they're going to continue to struggle. The defense, though, the Ravens defense is really good. Like I watched when I was watching that Raiders game is they're really good. Like they're another really good squad. And I think that as soon as the Ravens do figure out that offense, they're going to be right back into the swing of things. So I think this is a Ravens team that don't hit the panic button. They'll figure it out, and they'll be back in the playoff hunt soon.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you look at their schedule, too, it'll get a little bit better for them. And then also, like you said, right now it looks like they're kind of playing down a little bit, too. We've seen the Chiefs are playing down a little bit. Ravens kind of seen there, too, like on the defensive side even, too. We're players where you think, like, oh, man, he normally makes that play, and he's just not a little bit right now. They're 32nd against the pass right now in yards given up. And that's some of the things I'm kind of, like, talking about. It's not like they're giving up major plays, stuff like that, and things like that, you know, and a lot of scoring. It's just, you know, little just offish. And like you said, hopefully as the season gets going through, they'll just turn it up some more. And for me, again, get Derrick Henry going. Let this guy be the workhorse if you got him, man. You know, just get him rolling. I would like to see that with this team. And then that'll take a lot of that pressure off of Lamar Jackson, you know. But this team, again, so, you know, they're so good. I don't see him missing the playoffs. This is one of those teams that are going to make it, I think, here.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say that for the Ravens. And finally here we've got the 0-2 Cincinnati Bengals. Joe, again, almost pulled out that victory. It was so close,
they had it
just within a margin, fighting some of the penalties. And then also at the end, again, it was pass interference. We can't deny that. It was right there. It was within seconds of a hit. And that's how it goes sometimes. And that's how some of these teams, get these victories like the Chiefs and stuff, you know, just little mental errors, just enough to get them there.
Exactly.
And this Bengals team, you know, that Joe Burrow definitely looks better in this game too, but they are missing Joe Mixon. You know what I mean? You know, not having that bell cow of a running back there for them that helps balance out the offense. And that is a major key here for this team.
Yeah, you know, this is a team that relied a lot on Joe Mixon, and I don't think they really realized just how good he was for them. And they thought that they could replace him with a free agent signing of Zach Moss, and they have a rookie, Chris Brown, who, when he's 100% healthy,
Chase Brown, he's really good.
But again, they're not Joe Mixon. And Joe Mixon right now is having one hell of a season after 2 weeks with Houston Texans and helping them win games. So, I think that's one kind of like big loss that they have, and they haven't been able to come back from it. You also got to think T. Higgins is still not playing for them. He's still waiting to come back. Jamar Chase isn't 100% either. Like, he played with a illness in week one and wasn't 100%. And then in week two, I don't even know if the dude's healthy yet, because it seems like this team is limited because of the fact that they don't have the weapons they had before. Like, they have Jamar Chase. It's all well and good. But guess what? Defenses shift their coverage over to his side. Not only are they double teaming him every snap, but they get the coverage shifted over to that side because they're not worried about, they're not worried about any of their other receivers that they have. Yep. You know, Mike Gesicki has done a good job so far with the Bengals, you know, newly signed tight end for them. But again, he's not a wide receiver. You need more weapons to help them spread the ball around. And again, we talk about Joe Mixon not being there. Tyler Boyd, like, he's another guy that was on that team that was a veteran, a guy that would kind of move the chains for them. And now he's not there anymore. He's in Tennessee. So they're going through a readjustment period with this team where they don't have everybody at their disposal just yet, but when they do, I feel like they're going to kind of get back on track and they'll figure some things out. Like we saw in week one, we saw the Bengals, like you mentioned, Jim, about how late of a start they have every season. They're usually struggle the beginning part of the season and then they figure it out and here they are, you know, storming for the playoffs. I think that historical type of record that they have in the beginning of the year, it's just kind of, it's the thing that they do. So
they are who we thought they were.
That's right. It looks like when they get the pieces back that they need and everyone is on the same page that this team has the capability to kind of get back into that race, and make a push for the playoffs. I don't think it's time to panic for Bengals fans. I know week one was frustrating for them, and week two, they had it. It was just a couple of dumb mistakes on the defensive side of the ball that kind of restricted them to get a W.
Yeah. And again, they've got a few bit of injuries here on the defensive and the interior, but they're looking to play in B.J. Hill and who else was it? Sheldon Rankins. But one thing I would like to, who's been out injured, is Chris Jenkins. I was excited to see this kid get out there and play this year.
Yeah, he was hurt out of college too. So yeah, they're still waiting on him.
But I think one thing also I'd like to see on the offensive side of the ball, Eusebius, I think, missed a bunch of different plays where he could have had some catches in the last game here against the Chiefs that would have helped put them that game away multiple times, and he just missed it. I would like to see Jermaine Burton, with his big playability, I think that he has, get more involved in the offense. When you're talking about receivers and not having a T. Higgins and things like that, I think I would like to see Jermaine Burton, step up a little bit here.
Yeah, Jermaine Burton had one kind of like highlight play, had a catch for 47 yards, and that was it.
Targeted twice, though, in this season.
Yeah. My thing, too, is I think with Trenton Irwin, he's a decent receiver, but I think you should start Jermaine Burton over him. I think that Burton gives you a more big play ability, and I think that's what they're lacking right now because they don't have T. Higgins. They don't have a complement opposite Jamar Chase right now. And I think Burton, they need to kind of implement. I agree with you, Jim. They need to implement him more into the offense to get to help them kind of spread the ball around and open up the plays and everything like that. So this is a team again. They're still kind of trying to figure it out, find their way because it is different this year for them. You know, they don't have the same personnel that they used to have, especially receiving. and in the backfield. So they'll figure it out. They're on their way. I think you saw the game against the Chiefs. You saw the Bengals team that we were hoping to see in week one.
Right. Right.
And minus a couple, like I said, minus a couple of bad, bad plays on the defensive side of the ball for the Bengals. Yep. They had the game won. They would have won the game,
mm-hmm.
but it was a couple of mistakes and penalties that they got to help the Chiefs, get down to the field. So, they're right there. They're right there. It's just they'll get back on track. I got no worries about the Bengals right now.
All right, here we go. So, that's the type of games that you gotta, if you're that close to a win too, you gotta get those wins, because sometimes that's what's gonna make the difference when it comes playoff time, whether you're in or you're out. I think the Bengals still have a shot, because like you even said, they've done this multiple times and this is what they do. So, and the way this conference maybe starts to pan out, they could sneak in here, all right. So there's the 0-2 teams that we think. We looked at all of them, and then we've said whether they can make the playoffs or not. It was a handful, but maybe three or four. Besides that, their season's pretty much done for a few of these teams, and we'll see what they do to help develop, and how that develops throughout the season, actually, too.
Or see if they make any changes, too.
Yeah.
Because with these injuries or guys that have been missing from the lineup, you got to wonder, are they going to make a move? Are they going to bring someone in? It's interesting to see how every team goes about their everyday, running their organization. Because some teams are quick to add a player. As soon as the guy gets hurt, they're like, oh, we got to add someone else to help us, keep this train moving. And then there's other teams that are very patient. They don't make any drastic moves. They kind of wait to see let it marinate and wait to see if they really need to or not. So we'll see how the teams handle injuries, the teams handle maybe even production is lacking. So it'll be interesting to see how these 0-2 teams, if they're able to turn it around, or are they going to still kind of fall down the rabbit hole?
Yep. All right. So now it comes to the pick time. Week three is upon us, Joe. Last week was a little rougher here, but, we're still in it. We're still doing pretty good.
I got to say. That last week, I almost was heartbroken. I placed a bet, and it was for I picked 7 or 8 players. They can score a touchdown anytime, right? Guess what happened?
What?
One of them didn't. One of them got Cooper Kupp got injured.
Oh, anyway, yeah.
So. Just him, I hit on everybody else.
Oh.
It was a dollar bet, right? Mm-hmm. Dollar bet. I would have won $1,400 if.
Holy, really?
If Cooper Kupp played and scored a touchdown.
Wow.
So.
That stinks, dude.
Yeah.
Sorry to hear that.
But it's okay. Yes. There's always this week, right, guys?
That's right. Hey, your investment wasn't a whole lot, so you're okay.
Nah.
Yeah.
I never go. That's
it's like Iggy says. You don't know what you got.
Yeah. I never go crazy with betting, but I know a few people that are just good at it, and they spend a lot of money, and I'm just like, I'd never do that. But anyway, thanks guys for tuning in right now. Appreciate you guys. The Blitz Nation is live and in charge, and we just gotta say thanks for checking our shows out. Thanks for liking them. Make sure you subscribe. Share it, actually. Head over to YouTube. You can share it at Grumblings Media. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Make sure you hit the thumbs up. Make sure you comment down below. We will react to your comment. That's what this show's about, being interactive.
Mm-hmm.
But really appreciate everybody. And also, you can head over to YouTube. You can head over to rumble.com. You can also take us on the go. Anywhere you get your podcasts, bring us along. Thank you guys so much.
All right. Week three picks. You know what? I'm going to put up the music this time. How about that, Joe?
Here we go.
I'm going to get fancy.
Time to get serious.
I don't know what any of this stuff is, but I'm just going to pick a random one. How about that, Joe?
Let's see
what this sounds like.
This ought to be good.
All right.
Ooh.
Oh, okay. All right. Let's do it. We're just going to loop it. All right, let's go. Here we go. Here's the picks. Oh, yeah, I like it. All right. We got Thursday night. We got the New England
Week
Patriots.
Week 3!
Yeah, yes. The New England Patriots and the Jets. Patriots, again, look pretty strong at times. You know, they're surprising me. They're putting up fights against these teams here.
They are.
Yeah, so they're playing for their coach and everything, too. So, but Thursday night, the Jets, again, still don't look like, I'm hoping they would with Aaron Rodgers. Still, he looks a little off. Better than the first week, though, this week, though. He definitely looked better than that. But we're able to pull out a tough victory here. But now here they are home against the Patriots, a rival. I think the Jets being here at home with Aaron Rodgers in a third week together, they're going to kind of help get some stuff done. But I would like to see that defense play better than they have, though, too. We talked about them being a top five defense. They haven't exactly looked like it in the last 2 weeks here.
No, and that's kind of like it's disappointing a little bit. You know, I fully expected this Jets defense to kind of like take over and even like hold teams down below like, 17 points. Like I was really expecting that and allow Aaron Rodgers and the offense to kind of like just completely dominate whoever they were facing. But it hasn't been like that so far. And I know it's only been 2 weeks, but this is a team that I feel like is going to continue to get better as the season progresses. I do like Aaron Rodgers. And this is the thing, too, we touched on in training camp. Like, oh, where's Aaron? Oh, he's on vacation. Like, he's just not here. Well, this did affect on the chemistry issue that we talked about. And it's showing right now in the season. You usually correct those things in practice and correct them in preseason games. Now it's regular season, so now it's kind of like they're playing catch up as they play their game. So Aaron Rodgers gets going into week 3 is going to be better. Like we already see the connection between him and Garrett Wilson. He's actually spread the ball around a little bit more in week 2 and utilized down Lazard. You know, utilizes Tyler Conklin. Utilize Isaac Bruce out of the backfield, or not Isaac Bruce, Jesus, Breece Hall.
Breece Hall.
You're starting to see this offense have an identity that they didn't have in week 1. So I really do like the Jets. They're going to be home against the Patriots. And the Patriots, it's interesting because this is a team that I was concerned about their offensive line going into the regular season. I was concerned about Jacoby Brissett as the quarterback, and defense I wasn't concerned with. They'd still have that really good defense. But, again, does that Patriots offense hold up now against the Jets defense? So I really like this game. I think it's going to be a close one, actually, because it is an in-division type of game. So they know each other very well, but I think the Jets are going to come away with the win at the end.
All right. I'm going to go with the Jets as well. Here we go, Sunday. The New York Football Giants and the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland Browns at home. Looked better the second week here. Giants, again, looked better too as well. But facing this Jim Schwartz defense right here and Deshaun Watson hoping to get a little better and get back. It seemed like, again, when he was controlling the ball in the red zone, looked pretty good too.
Right.
So I expect the Giants to play hard, but not enough to do anything against this team here. I like the Browns here at home.
Yeah, but I mean, I fully expected you to go with the team opposite of your Giants single week.
Every
week. We're going to continue that trend for myself as well. I'm going to go with the Browns in this one. I did like week 1 looked terrible for Cleveland. Like, they couldn't do anything right. Week 2 looked way better. And week 3, maybe they continue that production. Maybe they continue their success. So I'm going to go with Cleveland. I think that, again, like you mentioned, Jim Schwartz, that defense, they're just constantly, they're aggressive. They keep coming after you from different angles. And I'd like to think that Deshaun Watson will continue to get better going into week 3. Week 2 was a little bit better, but he needs to become much better as the season progresses. And they're without David Njoku, which I think is also a factor in this game. But that just means spread the ball out to Jerry Jeudy. Spread the ball out to Amari Cooper. Mm-hmm. Like, utilize your other weapons. So we'll see how this game goes, but I'm going to go with the Browns in this one.
All right. Next, the Chicago Bears and the Indianapolis Colts. Colts, again, you know, 0-2, one of those 0-2 teams. Mm-hmm. You know, Bears pull out that victory week one. But again, the Caleb Williams not looking the best.
Hold on. The Bears didn't pull it out. Will Levis gave him that win.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I was being nice about it. Yeah, but again, you know, the defense, you know, with the win. So again, we talked about, you know, not having DeForest Buckner in this game. That's going to be a big point here for the Indianapolis Colts, because one thing we did see out of Caleb Williams is his elusiveness. He can get out of the pocket, make some plays with his legs, but like you had talked about with me when we were watching some of the game last week too, it's almost to a default where it almost like he's doing it prematurely. It's like, you know, stay in the pocket, trust some things, look at your receivers, get it to the guy. Or then, you know, if you got a time clock, get out of there. Sometimes he just wants to go for the scramble quick if he sees any kind of pressure. And then he gets scrambled all around, and it could get him in trouble because he will run 10 yards backwards, then sideways, then backwards, then forwards, then backwards, you know. So, and that's how you could get decked too, you know, and be in a tough position here. So,
yeah.
I think this is going to be a tight game. It's going to be close. But, oh, man, I think I'm going to go with the Chicago Bears on this one.
Okay. The Bears have a really good defense, and that's kind of really what's helping them stay in games.
Mm-hmm.
Caleb Williams, to your point, Jim, in week one, Caleb Williams averaged over 4 seconds of holding onto the ball and not throwing it. So he was holding onto the ball way too long. You should not be holding it on. You get that ball needs to come out of your hand, whether you get outside the pocket and throw it away or you got to get it to your receiver. The game of football at the NFL level is so much faster, and it's taking him by surprise, I feel like. Not only is he being asked to do things he was never asked to do in college by reading the defense and trusting and going through your progressions and all of that, he's got talent. There's no doubt about it. That's why he was drafted number one overall. I haven't been a huge fan of Caleb Williams just because of the things that he's being asked to do now versus college. And it seems to be showing more times than not that sometimes he gets in his head, sometimes he's unsure of where to go with the football. But in week two, he got much better. I will give him credit for that. Like week two, he was getting the ball out of his hands under 3 seconds, I believe, just over two. Under three, which is kind of like a nice sweet spot that you would like your quarterback to do. But that was attributed to the offensive play calling in week two. They were trying to get the ball out of his hands very quickly, and they did an excellent job at it. Mm-hmm. But I feel like going against the Colts, even though DeForest Buckner's not there, that defense is still good. Like, it's not anything to, you know, just kind of glance over. Their offense with Anthony Richardson, he's kind of similar to Caleb Williams, where he's got a cannon for an arm. He's got that mobility. But again, he's still holding on to the ball at times. He's not getting the ball to out of his hands quick enough. So I feel like this game is going to be a terrible game to watch for one. but overall, I'm gonna go with the Colts. Mm-hmm. Because oh, this other thing I wanted to mention, too, is that Caleb had a comment in one of the interviews after the game, basically saying that he's done such a good job and kind of talking about himself.
In essence,
about like saying, oh, you know, not that my defense has been playing amazing or giving any credit to the offensive line or. Like, it's just more like, oh, yeah, that's what I do. That's what he said. He goes, that's what I do. I break milestones. What milestone did you break? Because as far as I'm concerned, bro, you haven't even broke 200 passing yards yet.
Like,
I don't know. It's just the ego. I don't know. But I think that this game is not going to be a fun game to watch. So if you're going to watch it, don't watch it. Watch something else.
There you go.
It's going to be messy. I think it's going to be so messy that it's not going to be very high scoring.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to give the edge to the Colts just because why not?
Okay. Sometimes that's all you need. The Houston Texans and the Minnesota Vikings. Minnesota playing at home. Sam Darnold looks pretty good here. Again, that team all together. Houston, again, pulling out a close win last week. They really tried to give them the refs were really helping the Bears on that one, too. If you really watch that game, they were really trying to keep the Bears into this game.
Yeah.
It seemed like NBC was like, listen, guys, this is on national television. Make this competitive.
And
they didn't.
That's the other thing, too, is they tried to put the quarterbacks up with the stats with, Caleb Williams, and it's like, there's no comparison.
He wasn't good. CJ Stroud was on the other side.
You guys tried to make a case, but you tried to hype the game up. Dude, it was clearly one-sided. He didn't have a good game.
Right. So I think this game, though, is going to be really tight. I think Minnesota's been pulling off some good wins here. But here's a litmus test, I think, for them, because Houston's a very good team. I'm going to go with the Texans, I'm interested to see how Minnesota responds to this game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm baffled. I don't know what to do with this game because it's such a tough one to pick.
It is.
It could go either way. I wouldn't be surprised if either team wins, just like I said with the Niners and Vikings. But this, I just feel like the Texans, they're on such a roll right now.
Yeah.
And it's hard to pick against them, but man, I'm kind of getting that Sam fever, baby. I'm going to go with the Vikings on this one.
Oh, go Vikings?
I like the defense, man. The defense has definitely surprised me. Like, the Vikings defense is playing really good football.
Yeah.
I'll say this. If Justin Jefferson is to miss this game, I think that's a deciding factor. I think then it would be going the other way, the Texans. Because Sam Darnold and the Vikings, they need him to be available.
Yeah.
If he's not there and you don't have – I don't even know if Jordan Addison's going to be available. He was out last week. Mm-hmm. But if he doesn't have Jefferson at the least, I think it's going to be tough for the Vikings to win. I would go Texans if Jefferson doesn't play. I'll go with the Vikings.
All right. Next, the Philadelphia Eagles and the New Orleans Saints. Eagles, you should have had a victory here and you couldn't get it done. Now you go marching into the Saints territory, New Orleans. And New Orleans looking hot right now. If I did power rankings, I'm putting New Orleans at number one. It's funny. They saw them move up, I think, 16 spots, on NFLs or something. Still to, number eight for some reason. Which that makes me think again, how do these power rankings work? Because I thought it was, whatever team's looking good right now. They had Chiefs at number one. I don't get that right now. They don't look very good right now. So where's the power ranking? Anyways.
They
look really good. Here's another good test for them. This Philadelphia Eagles, a really good team. But Philadelphia, again, hasn't been really dominant either, really. They've been in some tight games and pulling out a victory the week before, and then this one got one off the hook.
You got to remember, too, that A.J. Brown wasn't available last game.
Right, he wasn't.
And I feel like that was the deciding
factor.
That
is a good factor.
They had A.J. Brown, no doubt about it. I think they win that game. I don't think they win it by a landslide by any means. I think it still would have been close. But I feel like they would have scored a couple more times than they did.
Right. But I'm going to go with the home team on this one. I'm going to go with the New Orleans Saints. You talk about you feeling that Sam Darnold fever.
Yeah.
I'm liking the Saints, man.
Yeah. You know what? I can't go against my guy. I love Derek Carr. And I've been trying to prove to everybody that he is a legitimate quarterback. He's a top 10 quarterback. He's playing like a top 5 in 2 weeks. So I'm just saying this is who he has always been. He never was a guy that was like, oh, he's not good. He's not good enough to be in the league. They're a start or whatever. He's showing you what he is. He's got a good offensive coordinator finally with Clint Kubiak, who's coming up with these crazy formations, these crazy plays with all of his players. And the defense has been playing stellar football.
Yeah.
Again, Marshon Lattimore, I believe he missed last week. I want to see if he's healthy enough to play in this week, but even so, like that team overall is playing on all cylinders. I love what they got going on. Philadelphia Eagles, like you mentioned, they are a really good team. They're very stout on both sides of the football. There's really not a lot of weaknesses with that team. I'm curious to see if Brown is going to be back this week. I expect him to be. But I'm going to go with the Saints right now because they are red hot. And they are not only playing great football, but they're also going to be playing at home, which is going to give them some extra juice. I'm going Saints.
All right. Next, we got the Los Angeles Chargers and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Pittsburgh somehow 2-0 out of all this. This is going to be a running attack, this game.
Yeah.
This is what this is. This is going to be running on both sides. You're going to see Najee Harris on the other side, and you're going to see, you know, the Chargers on the other doing their thing. So, J.K. Dobbins, you know. So, I think this is going to be a close game. I think Pittsburgh has kind of backdoored into games. So, I'm not believing them in this one. I'm going to back out. Even though they do play really well at home, I'm going to ride with the Chargers on this one.
Yeah. Okay. So what? Oh, they're in Pittsburgh this week.
In Pittsburgh. Yeah.
So, like you mentioned, it's going to be running football. Justin Herbert, he was banged up last week. It seems like he's going to be good to go this week. Mm-hmm. So there's no real issue there. It basically comes down to defense. Like whose defense do you think is going to win? You know, who's going to force the other opposing offense to make a mistake or turn the ball over to get it back to their team? I'm still not sold on Justin Fields. I know that they've won, but really he hasn't really done anything. Yeah. You know, and I'll tell you this right now, Mike Tomlin cannot wait until Russell Wilson's back. He just can't wait. Looks like it's going to be week 4, not week 3, so he is tracking towards getting healthier. It seems like one more week will do it, and it'll be back. But yeah, I agree with you, Jim. I think the Chargers are gonna. I think they're gonna do just enough to get the W here.
Yeah, that's the thing too. Justin Herbert, you know, he's been just playing it safe. He could only do that so long until the time's up. And like you said, Russell Wilson's going to be coming back pretty soon. The Denver Broncos and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I feel bad for the Broncos right here because, again, the way Tampa Bay is playing right now, and it's 1 week, you know, it's Mike Evans, those guys. This week it was Chris Godwin. I mean, and, you know, that defense, you know, is playing really well. I mean, you know, the team that, you know, wasn't sure post Tom Brady what they're going to do, and they found Baker Mayfield, and look at this, they're just in the playoffs still, no matter what. There is no downtime. So they're playing really well. The Broncos, again, learning with their young quarterback. He's going to make the mistakes here. It's going to be a rough road for him in this one. I like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, I like Baker Mayfield. I think he's going to be he's just playing at a high level right now. He's doing a great job. He's continuing where he left off from last season, basically.
Right.
And he's got a healthy offense around him. Chris Godwin is going crazy every week. Mike Evans is doing his thing. Like, everybody's getting a piece of the pie. Rashad White is surprisingly doing big things in the backfield. And they got that young rookie in Bucky Irving who, man, what a freaking tough dude to tackle in the open field. Week 1, he showed what he could do. Week 2, they didn't really use him that much. I'm hoping that they kind of put him in the offense this week. I got the Buccaneers hands down. Like, I don't think the Broncos would stand a chance against this team. And usually when I say that, the Broncos somehow win. But I can't see it happening. I think the Buccaneers are too good. And the defense is playing out of this world as well.
All right, next up we've got the Green Bay Packers at the Tennessee Titans. Is this the week that the Titans pull out a victory here and Malik Willis, you know, doesn't do very well for them, you know? I don't think so. I mean, the Titans are going to try and stay competitive here, but that Green Bay Packers defense is really good. They're going to kind of go with the same game plan, I think, try and keep it, you know, just out of his hands as much as they can, give it to Josh Jacobs to try to run on this Tennessee Titans defense and this team. And I think they will be able to do this here. And I'm liking the Green Bay Packers.
Tennessee defense is no slouch, especially they were one of the better teams last season in defending against the run. I feel like this is going to play into the hands of the Tennessee defense. This is exactly what they want. This is going to be the game plan. What they were like last week, you know, what was supposed to happen, and then you got this week with the Titans. The Titans are they're a smart football team. They're going to have a really good defensive game plan. I feel like they're going to force Malik Willis to beat them by passing. They're going to try to shut Josh Jacobs down. I know that's not easy, but I think they have the personnel to do it, and that's got to be the game plan. I think that gives them a shot to win this game. I understand Green Bay did what they did last week, but I don't believe in Malik Willis. I think that's going to be the Achilles heel of this offense this week. They're playing a much better defense in Tennessee. I think in this game, Will Levis isn't a moron and just hands the ball off to the other defense this week. So I think that's going to be the difference. I feel like Tennessee will get their first W this week.
And Malik Willis of getting his revenge game?
Right, of course.
Right.
Yeah, You know what? He might actually, by forcing him to throw, they know him. Like, that's the thing, too, is that that team knows him inside and out. So they know his tendencies. They know, like, all the backstory on him. So it's like they almost got an advantage by knowing the quarterback that well, where they might set some things up and, like, oh, he goes for this all the time, and then there's another pick. You know what I mean? So we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. But
absolutely.
I'm hoping for the Titans to get their first win.
Yeah, it would be nice. The Carolina Panthers and the Vegas Raiders. Raiders coming off a big win against the Ravens. Again, can't put their foot off the gas here, though, to defeat a team here. You know, now led by Andy Dalton at the helm here for the Carolina Panthers. Raiders, I think, do really play really well at home, though, too. I think Max Crosby is going to get multiple sacks in this game. I'm going with the Raiders on this one. Not much, I think, to say. I'm interested to see how Andy Dalton can lead this team. I think he'll do better than what Bryce Young has done, but not enough against this defense.
Yeah, I feel like Andy Dalton will get the ball out of his hands quicker. He's going to be more decisive with the football, and keep trying to move the ball down the field and not try to force anything. But I got to say, the Panthers, their defense, they don't have Derrick Brown anymore. They traded away Brian Burns. And this secondary, let me tell you, it just looks like a mess. Offensively, they haven't been able to protect the quarterback. Andy Dalton might be in for a rude awakening because, like you said, you think Max Crosby is going to get a lot of sacks. I think Christian Wilkins gets two in this game. Like, I think this defense overall is going to go off.
Yeah.
And then it's going to just allow more opportunity for Gardner Minshew and the offense to kind of move the ball down the field and score. If the Raiders lose this game, that just throws up a whole other big question mark about this team. I got to say, you're playing the worst team in football right now, or at least one of the worst. You got to win this game if you're the Raiders. So, yeah, I have to go Raiders with this one.
All right, here we go. And the Miami Dolphins with Huntley or Skylar Thompson, we don't know yet, I guess, right now. Let's make it a question mark.
It's going to be Skylar Thompson because Tyler Huntley literally just got there. I don't see them throwing him in that fast. Maybe next week, but not this week.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we've got the Miami Dolphins and the Seattle Seahawks. Seattle, though, again, man, they've just been...
It's in Seattle, though, right?
Oh, it is in Seattle.
Watch out. Seattle's defense is going to be licking their chops, man. They got a new quarterback there. They're going to try to mess with him. They're going to get after him. Miami better hope they can run. They can run that rock, because if they can't, they're in for a long day. I got Seattle all day long. Seattle is also another one of these teams that are playing very well. They're executing, especially offensively. Geno Smith, we're seeing the Geno Smith from 2 years ago, not last season. And, They got things moving along there in Seattle, so I got the Seahawks in this one.
Yeah, and it's tough because the fact that Tua makes that much of a difference here for the team. I mean, that's everything here. But you would hope that Mike McDaniel can game plan around this, and Devin Achane, you know, can do something here and just run the football efficiently and get that going. But it is tougher to play in Seattle. You got the crew there, all the fans and everything. It's going to get loud, and they're definitely going to test Skyward Thompson.
So real quick, there's a stat that just popped up. Said top 10 NFL quarterback passing touchdown leaders as follows. Saints Derek Carr with 5. Bucks Baker Mayfield with 5. Cardinals Kyler Murray with 4. Vikings Sam Darnold with 4.
Wow.
Jets Aaron Rodgers with 3. And Chargers Justin Herbert with 3. And none other than Jalen Hurts with the Eagles has 3 as well.
That list sounds like it's a list from like 4 years ago. You know? That's crazy. Yeah, isn't that funny? It's like the upside down is up, you know, and things like that. Good for
this
them.
This is
though.
Why we love this game.
Yes, yes, definitely. There you go. It's the little guys. We root for the little guys. So I think I'm going to go with Seattle too, just because, again, the Skyward Thompson being in there, playing it safe here, and Seattle does play well at home. Detroit Lions and the Arizona Cardinals. This could be a trap game, I think, again. Here we go. The trap game here. Because Arizona, if they come out flying again and punching you in the mouth, I don't know how the Detroit Lions are responding here. Because what they've done the last 2 weeks, you know, it was tough to gauge on what the Rams really are, because they just lost to the Cardinals. And the Lions just lost, you know. So what are we seeing here? What team? You would hope that Dan Campbell, again, gets these guys in the locker room, has a good pep talk, and say, hey, listen, we have what it takes to get there. We need to beat teams like this. Let's fix, you know, our shit and get stuff to go in here. Let's get it back going here. So I'm worried about this game. I'm worried that Arizona's going to get out on top, and then Detroit's going to get disheveled. You know, they've done it last year in the playoffs too. It's kind of scary. Yeah. But that being said, Arizona's defense, I think, still sucks. And I think Jared Goff can be able to navigate well with the weapons that they have. And like you said, get Sam LaPorta involved. I'm going to go with the Lions here to be safe. But I would not be surprised if the Cardinals pull a stinky one out here.
I'll tell you right now, I will be surprised if the Cardinals win this game, because there's no reason the Detroit Lions should lose to this team.
No.
The Rams, listen, the Lions beat the Rams fair and square, and this is a team, if the Lions are going to be the team that they want themselves to be, they got to win games like this. The Cardinals should not be on the same football field with them. They should not be, it should not be down to the wire or anything like that. The Lions need to handle business and take care of it. Like you just said, Sam LaPorta, this could be Sam LaPorta's breakout game that we've been waiting for. This really could be. Because the Cardinals, like, they've done enough to beat the two teams that they did. But now they're playing a team that everybody anticipates winning the division and pushing in the deep in the playoffs. So I think the Lions get this win easy.
All right. Next up, we got the Baltimore Ravens and the Dallas Cowboys here. Wow. Ooh. All right. Dallas, will they lose back-to-back at home? Or do we see Baltimore Ravens going 0-3 right here, Joe?
Oh, man.
This is exciting. How about this game? It's got to be game of the week right here. It's got to be. It is.
Is it?
Game of the week. It's got to be, because look at the other games. They're kind of like, no, this is it. This is the game of the week.
It's in Dallas, too.
It's in Dallas, so, yeah.
Oh, man. Baltimore traveling to Dallas. What's that going to look like? You know what? This is the thing. It's these games right here are very weird to decipher, because neither team plays each other very often. They see each other once every 4 years or something like that.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how each team attacks each other. Especially in the beginning, it's going to be kind of like that touch and go feeling out period. Like, we're not going to do anything crazy yet in the first quarter, and then you'll start to see it pick up one way or the other for each team. Man, I can't imagine the Ravens going 0-3 right now. Even though they're going to Dallas, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to go with the Ravens in this one. I think Lamar Jackson gives the Ravens defense enough fits. By trying to chase him down, I feel like the team is going to utilize Derrick Henry more in this matchup and try to just punish the D-line of the Cowboys. I think that's what it's going to come down to. I think it's going to, the Ravens are going to try to, like, have those long sustaining drives like they usually like to do, finish off with touchdowns, and then just send immense pressure at Dak Prescott. So that's what I'm going to go with. I'm going with Baltimore in this one. And the Ravens getting, or not the Ravens, the Cowboys get another loss.
Yeah, and this is what I'm looking at too, because what do the Cowboys do? They do that pass rush, things like that. I think having Lamar Jackson back there kind of nullifies that.
He's
going to step up in that and then take off. So are they going to have somebody try and spy him? Sure, I'm sure they are going to try and have somebody spy him here. But
you
want him to possibly contain, but I don't think that's like Micah Parsons' deal. You know, he's going to try and get some moves, swim in, cut in, try and get at Lamar. Lamar's going to get open and make some big plays with his legs, and then the Cowboys, again, are going to start reeling. And I think it's going to be an issue here. Like you said, then bring it back with a little more Derrick Henry. And the Cowboys don't have a running game.
It's not.
So, again, they're going to drop back to start trying to throw here to get into the game again, and then they're going to run into problems. I agree with you here, too. I'm going to go with the Baltimore Ravens here. And the Dallas goes 1-2, and it makes that division tighter. Right? How about that? Oh, man. Imagine that. It could be the NFC least again, possibly.
Ooh.
All right, next we got the San Francisco 49ers, who are a little banged up here, and the Rams, who are also banged up here. So, again, this would potentially would have been probably one of the games of the week.
Yes.
But, again, Rams missing their top two receivers. Debo's injured. No Christian McCaffrey. So it's rough. And then is Nick Bosa going to be able to play? I know he was banged up, right?
Nick Bosa, he's banged up. Jury's still out on him. It's only Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday.
So I think this is going to be tough. I mean, you know, why you think about it. Rams, again, I think they're going to do whatever they can to get back into this game and make it competitive. You'd hate to see the Rams go 0-3. But you also look at the 49ers and the amount of personnel that they have, though, too, and Shanahan, and you got to say, listen, they still got to be able to find out a way to win this one, you know, with who they have. They still have Ayuk. They still have George Kittle, you know. And I think Mason still looks pretty good, at, you know, for the young guys. So
really good, yeah.
You know, I think I'm leaning towards the Rams, but I think I might just go towards the 49ers here on this one.
Yeah, I mean, the Rams, like, we didn't foresee them being 0-2 already in this season. And the fact that they've lost not just Puka Nacua – Not just Cooper Kupp, but they still don't have Tyler Higbee there.
Yep.
They're trying to be a running or a balanced team that runs, but to kind of control the ball and all that and tick down time. But man, when you drop your top two targets, that's hard to overcome. Like, it can be done, but it's really hard to overcome. So. I think that, like, I don't have major concerns for the Rams, but for the 49ers, like, this is another team. Like, they've been beaten up. Like, they don't have Christian McCaffrey still. Debo Samuel might miss the game. You know what I mean? Like, I think he might be even out already, but I could be wrong about that, but I did hear the fact that he's been banged up and they're not sure if he's going to be able to play. So for the 49ers, they're also another kind of wounded duck coming into this game, and they got to figure out ways to win. For the 49ers, I think the 49ers end up winning this game, but it's probably going to be an ugly game for both teams. Like, I don't foresee one just destroying the other. So I'll go with the Niners in this one.
All right. Here we go. Just a couple more here. We've got Sunday Night Football, the Kansas City Chiefs and the Atlanta Falcons. Like we said early on, we were talking about the Chiefs, very opportunistic. They've been able to pull out a couple of victories here, but Patrick Mahomes not exactly looking the best. Isaiah Pacheco not there because of being injured, so they bring in Kareem Hunt. Again,
I don't even
still
think
not
he starts.
Running on all cylinders, and I don't think he does either.
I think that kid starts, that Carson Steele.
Yeah, I think Atlanta, they really got to kind of come out here firing. You know, I think they really got to get things going, get the run game going, really. You know, and Bijan Robinson, that'll open it up for Kirk Cousins stuff. He plays better, you know, after, you know, having a good running game, get some play action passing going.
Yep.
He got his you know, big game, you know, this past Monday night. So, Atlanta playing at home, Kansas City, I would say, backdooring into some of these games.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to go with the Atlanta Falcons at home to sneak out a victory against the defending champions.
I'm surprised, Jim. I thought for sure you were going to go with the Chiefs. Anyway, you're right. Like, the Chiefs haven't won any – so I mean, there's only been two games. They haven't won in a convincing way, I guess is the best way to put it, unlike what we've seen last season from them. So Atlanta Falcons, what they were able to do in Philly – showed me the potential of this team. Like, we believed it was there before the season started. We thought, hey, Atlanta could be a dark horse. Maybe they push for the playoffs. But last week, you played one of the premier teams in the NFC, in the Eagles, and you went into their house and beat them. Mm-hmm. So that shows me that this Falcons team is ready to make that push. When you can beat a big-time team like that, and now it doesn't get any easier because now you have to have – now you got to play Kansas City. So Kirk Cousins, good on him for playing well in prime time and actually winning for once. But I like the Atlanta Falcons defense too. Like I said that in the offseason, they've managed to bring together a very good secondary, all playing together, good chemistry, Matt Judon – screaming off the edge to get after quarterbacks. That's my thing, is how well can Kansas City protect Mahomes versus Matt Judon. So I'm curious to see how that all shakes out. But again, these are teams, again, this is another matchup where they don't face each other normally. They don't know each other that well. All they can go off of is 2 weeks of football. So I like Atlanta's chances in this one. I think that they're home. They're going to just kind of rock out. And of course, I'm going to root against the Chiefs. I'm picking the Falcons in this one.
All right. We got two Monday night games here this week. So we're blessed with two. That's very exciting.
Oh, we are blessed with two?
Well, kind of, I guess. You know, two halves make one, maybe. So I guess you're right. That makes sense. Because one game is Jacksonville and Buffalo, and the other one is Washington and Cincinnati, which they might turn into games a little bit, you know, on some of these. Buffalo at home, they've been playing really well. You know, Josh Allen really turning it up. Put down all the sayers about saying, hey, without Diggs, what is he going to do? You know, he seems like he's handling it well. You know, Shakir seems like he's getting it. That's his go-to guy, but he also has the tight ends to get it this too. So Buffalo seems fine right now. Jacksonville is the ones that's reeling. Their quarterback just said that they just suck. So I think the locker room, you know, might be a little down in this one for Jacksonville. And they're going to go 0-3 in this one. I like the Buffalo Bills to circle the wagons here at home.
Yeah, but, you know, the Bills played so well in week two against Miami. They dominated the Miami Dolphins. And I think that they're going to do the same thing with the Jaguars. I don't think that the Jaguars are playing well enough to compete with the Bills. And Bills' offense really is running through Josh Allen so far. So far, nobody as a receiver has stepped up enough to kind of claim the throne as the number one guy. We did expect Khalil Shakir to be that guy, but so far, no one's really kind of grabbed the crown and ran with it. So that's still up for grabs. The Bills and Josh Allen, we've seen them running a lot more, and that seems to be working so far. I think that trend continues. The Bills are going to end up winning. They're home. It's tough to beat the Bills at home. Jaguars, because they're struggling and they got to go to Buffalo, I think the Bills get the W there.
Yeah, and I want to say even last time that they did play, I think the other Josh Allen, now Josh Hines Allen, played really well, and I think the Jags upset him, but I don't see that happen because that was even in Jacksonville last time, too.
And that was a different time altogether.
Yep. All right, next we've got the Washington Commanders and the Cincinnati Bengals. Cincinnati just couldn't get that one done in the last game here. Washington struggled. They're moving the ball against the Giants. They're moving it, but again, just get guys in the red zone and stalled out. Penalties. They need to eliminate the penalties. If they can do that, they can really make places, go places and do things. Because Jaden Daniels, even though he hasn't had a passing touchdown yet, he's doing things with his legs too and getting out in the open. One thing he does need to do, and they said it on the broadcast, I think multiple times, is get down, young man. Get down. because you are only $1.90 right now, six-something, and you're frail. You get take some of those big hits. We've seen that ruin some careers before. You're very elusive. You can get out in the open and make some plays with your legs, but make sure you slide so you can get up and fight another day here. But despite the Washington Commanders, how they're able to move against the Giants, it was the Giants. And this is the Cincinnati Bengals. I expect them to bounce back from last week where they should have had the win, and they should be able to handle the Commanders here. I like the Bengals.
Yeah, for Washington, I saw a few of their or a couple of their games, and not all of it in its entirety, but like some of the hits that I saw Jaden Daniels take, they really weren't even bone crushing or anything. But I'm not.
He got
really
a good
concerned.
One hit on this past week, but yeah,
I'm not really concerned with it. You know, at the time, I mean, at LSU, he did a good job of running out of bounds and sliding or whatnot. I think he picks and chooses whether he wants to take that hit or not, depending on the situation. But yeah, you're right. He does need to protect his body. He doesn't want to get hurt, you know, while just kind of hanging in there or whatnot. But for Jaden Daniels in Washington, I think the one thing that they struggled with last week was protection. It seemed like the interior of that O-line is not upgraded like we once thought. Like, they struggled to protect Jaden Daniels last week, and I think that continues this week with the likes of Trey Hendrickson going to be coming after, you know, him, Sam Hubbard, and everybody else. I think this is going to be a tough task for Washington alone. I think defensively for Washington, they've been struggling too. Like, I thought that with the new additions that they made, they would have kind of somehow come together and they would have played what they're playing terrible football.
Yeah.
So just with that alone, and the Bengals, the fact that they lost to the Chiefs, they are super pissed right now. They know they shouldn't have lost that game, and now they're looking to just kind of go after the next team, which happens to be Washington. I think Joe Burrow and company, they go out there, they execute all the plays, and they play at a high level. Bengals get the win.
All right, there you go. We agree on that one. There you go. There's our picks for week three, Joe.
That's
who
right.
knows what will surprise us this week? Who knows what we're going to get here? So,
that's right. We don't know anything.
We don't know anything. That's why they play the games too, right, Joey? Everybody looks good on paper or whatever.
It's any given Sunday. That's why that term is so true.
Yep, absolutely. So, all right, so before we head out, tell everybody one last time where they can find more shows like this one and the audio versions too as well.
Hey, Blitz Nation, thanks for tuning in. We really appreciate all the support. Make sure next week we need some more comments in the comment section. Make sure you drop down below, comment. We're going to react to the comment. Even if you have a question or you want to talk about something, we'll definitely do that for you guys. We're here for you guys all season long and all year long because football doesn't stop after the Super Bowl. We got all kinds of things to talk about. So make sure you tune in here every single Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll see you guys here next week. You can also head over to YouTube to help to support us a little bit more. Hit that subscribe button. Hit the thumbs up. Make sure you share the video to everybody that you know. And as well, you can take us on the go and with any podcast that you might be involved with. Make sure you hit the follow there as well. Jim, did you know something?
What's up?
That we have a website called grumblingsmedia.com that you can go to and check anything from sports, entertainment, political. All kinds of shows over there. Make sure you head over there.
That's the QR code right there, right in that top corner. Just hold your phone up to it. There you go. Scan the code. It'll take you right to grumblingsmedia.com. We can get, like Joe said, all the podcasts that are on there. We have political. We have baseball. We have baseball.
There's all kinds.
News, just everything, basketball, everything you could possibly want. Check them out. Memes. So go to the website. You'll get everything you possibly want. And thank you so much for joining us this week. And we'll see you guys for the next one.